Good morning. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, coming up on 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, July the 26th. Do you favor or oppose the proposed universal health care plan that Senate Democrats put in their version of the state budget? We talked about the plan last month with one of its architects, Democratic State Senator John Erpenbach, who said this plan, funded through a payroll tax paid for by employers and employees, is a good deal for both.
It costs about $15.2 billion to run this. At the same time, businesses that are providing health care right now, it costs them about $17 billion. So if we're going to call it a payroll tax, we also have to call it about a $2 billion payroll cut.
Our guest this hour, though, disagrees and says that this plan is bad for Wisconsin for a number of reasons. We will wonder what you think and what questions you have for him at 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, or you can send your question via email, talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest this hour is Dan Cunningham, Vice President of Government Relations for Forward Janesville, a group made up of Janesville area businesses concerned with economic development issues, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So why do you oppose this universal health care plan?
Well, we at Forward Janesville, we talk to our members a lot about this issue, and year after year they cite affordable health care coverage as a top concern facing their businesses. And I think it's clear that in terms of health insurance, a lot of our members have experienced really dramatic premium increases, and it's they're getting priced out of the healthcare market. So this is certainly an issue we've been following for a long time. We were very interested to see when this proposal was actually introduced, but after a lot of analysis of the proposal and talking to our members and others in the Janesville community, we feel that it's the wrong way to achieve health care reform. I mean, allowing state government to get into the health insurance business is dangerous on many levels, and it's an option that we feel should be studied really carefully, not just dropped into a budget proposal at the 11th hour. And we've got a couple of reasons why we oppose this proposal, and I can go into those.
Yeah, what's the first reason? The biggest reason you oppose it?
Well, the biggest reason I'd say is the plan is likely to get more expensive over time. We've all heard the baseline projections that $15.2 billion, which by the way is $3 billion more than the state pays total in taxes in terms of sales tax, income tax, and corporate income taxes. So we've all heard those sorts of numbers. But we think it's likely to get more expensive over time due to natural escalations in healthcare costs. The Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, a group which we trust their projections, says that if healthcare costs continue to grow at current rates, the plan could face a shortfall of anywhere between $4.5 and $9 billion by the year 2017. So that's just 10 years out. So in order to cope with that sort of increase, the state would have to raise taxes again to pay for this program, anywhere from the baseline of 14.5%, which is the number we're all talking about, up to almost 20%. The sky is really the limit of how much this could cost us. So that's one of the main reasons we oppose this.
Well, if businesses, including the businesses that are in your group, are concerned about the cost of health care coverage and providing health care coverage for their employees, isn't this though a way to do that? It's going to cost something. Isn't this going to be one way to do that?
It is, and that's one thing that we've said all along is that we commend Senator Robson, who is from Beloit and who we talk to on a very regular basis. We commend her for her work on this issue. I mean, she's always been a leader in healthcare, and we think this is a conversation that needs to be had at state government level. So we're certainly glad the conversation is being had. And this is certainly one way to do it. And Wisconsin has a long tradition of progressive political thought, and this is just another brick in that wall. And we think it's going to be a long summer up here in Madison, and we're really interested to see how it all comes out. But yeah, this is one way to solve the healthcare crisis, but we just don't think it's the right way.
Yeah. What would be the right way?
Well, we support and it's not nearly as broad or revolutionary, perhaps, as Healthy Wisconsin, but we support addressing healthcare issues by increasing consumer involvement in healthcare through things like tax credits for health savings accounts, increasing cost transparency, telling consumers, having healthcare providers tell consumers what things actually cost. I mean, you can go to the grocery store and see the prices all laid out on the shelves, but when it comes to healthcare, it's hard to figure out how much things actually cost.
And can't you add that stuff, though, to this? I mean, you can give a tax credit and do the transparency stuff in addition to this?
You could. Mm-hmm. You could. You certainly could. Unfortunately, this is not included in the plan. There's no health savings account provision in the plan, so health savings accounts in Wisconsin would go away. Health savings accounts are higher deductible plans where consumers are given a stake in what their procedures actually cost, so there's an incentive to more aggressively manage healthcare. These things certainly could be added to the proposal, but it doesn't change the fact that it is universal healthcare, and it's going to be very expensive. It's also going to create some unanticipated negative things, like we were talking earlier about a possible workforce impact, in that a lot of full-time workers might prefer to transition to part-time employment or retire if they were able to do so.
Let's talk a little bit more about those possible negative impacts.
Sure.
After we check our weather forecast. We're talking with Dan Cunningham, Vice President of Government Relations for Forward Janesville. He's telling us why his group is opposed to the universal health care plan proposal that is in the Senate's version of the state budget. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Hi, this is Ben Marins, hoping you'll join me today after 4 for At Issue. In our second hour, we'll discuss plans for renewable energy development in Wisconsin while fossil fuels go the way of the dinosaur. That's At Issue today from 4 to 6 here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
And in weather for this Thursday, it'll be partly to mostly sunny and warm, a high near 88 degrees. But grab your umbrella because there is a chance for storms today as well as storms overnight tonight. A chance tonight for some heavy rain. Overnight, a low of 68 degrees. Becoming mostly sunny again tomorrow with a high of 82, although a continued slight chance for storms tomorrow during the day. Then overnight, a low of 62. The weekend through Monday, mostly sunny, with highs near 83 degrees. At this hour in Madison, 73 degrees under hazy skies.
Wisconsin Public Radio is online at WPR.org. It's a way to stay in touch. You'll find program information, news features, archived programs, and much more. Visit us anytime at WPR.org.
This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up in our next hour, we'll talk more about state budget issues, the proposed state budget, and what it would do to the University of Wisconsin system, according to the president of the University of Wisconsin system, Kevin Riley, who will be our guest after 8 o'clock, along with the president of the Board of Regents of the University of Wisconsin system, Mark Bradley. Right now, we're talking with Dan Cunningham, Vice President of Government Relations for Forward Janesville, a group of Janesville area businesses concerned with economic development issues, recently coming out in opposition to the proposed universal health care plan for Wisconsin, the one that's included in the Senate's version of the state budget. Dan Cunningham says this would be unhealthy for Wisconsin, would end up costing a whole lot more than is being advertised right now, and says the plan would also have some unintended consequences to the workforce for the state of Wisconsin, for one thing. And Dan Cunningham, you say this could lead to the graying of the workforce. How so?
It could accelerate the process. And when I say graying of the workforce, I mean Wisconsin's workforce is getting older. A lot of people are retiring, and certainly those people need to be replaced in the workforce. The problem with Healthy Wisconsin is it creates a disincentive to work. Since it provides coverage to nearly all of our citizens, say if you're 57 years old and you're set up financially and you're just working to receive health insurance from your employer, well, you would be covered under Healthy Wisconsin, so why not retire? And we feel that this could accelerate the process that's already going on in our state and could create a really big, unanticipated, as you said, hole in our workforce. And we already face workforce challenges here in Wisconsin, and I think the plan could just make it worse.
Yeah, wouldn't the workforce, there would be a lot of people who would want to work for companies giving them these good health care benefits. Wouldn't that be a plus?
That could be a plus, and that's one of the things the supporters are arguing, that Wisconsin could be this could really promote economic development in the state of Wisconsin by saying, hey, we've got this great universal health care plan. The problem we see with it is that our communities in Wisconsin could become a magnet for the unhealthy and uninsured people from all across North America, really. And that provides special challenges for border counties as well, like Rock County. I mean, we could see a huge influx of folks from Illinois who are uninsured, because now everybody who moves to Wisconsin would be covered immediately under Healthy Wisconsin if they could demonstrate that they are gainfully employed, a dependent child, or a pregnant woman. And furthermore, after 12 months of residency within the state, all those work requirements go away. So you don't even have to be employed to be under the program. So we feel that it could become a magnet for all sorts of people coming to Wisconsin. And again, that's going to cause this program to become more and more expensive, and probably more expensive than we're anticipating at this point.
Any other reasons why you oppose this proposal? Or have we covered most of them?
Well, I mean, I think we've covered most of them, but Healthy Wisconsin does a little bit to address the root causes of rising health care costs, but we don't think it does enough. It does have some provisions to help people with to encourage people with chronic diseases to seek aggressive treatment of those, and we appreciate those kinds of provisions. We think they're a good idea, but we don't feel that it goes far enough to address things like poor management of chronic diseases and overutilization of healthcare services. You know, when we're sick in this country, we go to the doctor automatically without thought. And you know, you could argue that's a good thing, but we really do overutilize. I mean, we as a nation overutilize our healthcare system. I mean, any little bump or scrape, we're going to the doctor. And health savings accounts and some of the higher deductible plans, where you're forced to think about your care a little bit more, encourage people not necessarily to go to the doctor for every little thing.
So, yeah, so you're saying that this particular plan doesn't have a high enough, perhaps, a copay along with it, so that everybody would be going to the doctor for every little thing.
Correct.
Yeah. Let me. We got tons of callers here, so let me see what their questions are. Ted in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. You know, the main question I have is this, that for 6 or 7 years at least, you know, this whole decade, people have been wringing their hands about just how crippling the current healthcare system is. I mean, it is hurting businesses that provide healthcare. It's the major cause of bankruptcy for individuals in this country. School districts are getting killed. All levels of government, just the costs are through the roof. And we know that in this country, we're spending much, much more on healthcare and getting much worse outcomes than a lot of people in other countries are. And, you know, people want to see something serious about this. Every time a proposal comes up, you know, people like your guests get up and you can theorize all kinds of various problems with it. When are we going to get serious about this problem? I mean, a lot of the costs we know have to do with just bureaucracy and waste, insurance companies making gigantic profits, gaming the system, trying to cherry-pick the healthiest groups, fights between doctors and hospitals and insurance companies about who's got to pay who what. This proposal seems to just eliminate a lot of that waste and invest in prevention so that people don't get big health problems that cost a lot of money in the first place. My question for the guest is, you know, when are we going to stop digging around the edges and get serious about really addressing this crisis, which everybody agrees is like a stone around our economy's neck, dragging us under the water?
Well, thank you, caller, for that for your opinions. And that's one of the reasons, and you mentioned that when something like this comes out, that groups like mine come out in opposition heavily and start talking about why it's a bad idea. That's part of the reason why we waited nearly a month after this was introduced to come out with this position, because we really wanted to give it a fair hearing amongst our members. And for whatever reason, there were many reasons why people opposed it, but about 85 to 90% of our members who responded to our request for comments on this opposed it. And we agree that something needs to be done about the current healthcare center, the current healthcare system in this country. And, you know, Healthy Wisconsin is one way to do it. We just are very, very concerned about the possible cost escalations, and we think it's going to be a lot more expensive than we're anticipating at this point. I mean, a lot of businesses, I think somewhere in the order of 40% of businesses, do not provide health insurance to their employees at this point. We'd love to see that number go down, obviously, but under the current system, businesses that can't afford health care coverage right now still wouldn't be able to afford it under Healthy Wisconsin. If you don't provide any health insurance to your employees, well, suddenly you're going to be hit with this payroll tax, and you're going to be forced to either pass the extra cost on to the customers of the business or go out of business. So, I mean, the question we have to answer in Wisconsin is, do we want to have workers who are employed and making money in our economy and do not have health insurance, or would we rather have people who are unemployed who have health care coverage? So it's an interesting debate, and we agree something needs to be done. And I'll admit that our plan is nibbles around the edges a little bit, but this is a little bit too far, we think.
Yeah. So businesses, or most of the businesses in your group, or this 40% that don't provide benefits right now, could not afford, you're saying, the what would it be, about $300 and some per employee in a payroll tax?
I think it depends.
Per month?
Yeah, something in that order. And the numbers I don't have exactly in front of me. But yes, we asked our members, and it really did run the gamut. And don't get me wrong, there are quite a few businesses that would save money under this plan. I mean, I want to make that clear. But businesses that do not currently provide insurance would certainly be hit with the big payroll tax. And a lot of businesses that do provide basic, very basic health plans would also be hit very hard. We got opinions saying, if this plan goes through, I'm going to have to close my business. If this plan goes through, I'll have to lay off one full-time employee. It'll cost me $1 million. It really ran the gamut between, this is the worst idea we've ever heard, to, let's, you know, this proposal needs to be addressed because of exactly what the caller just said.
Yeah. Thanks to Ted. Let me go to Bob in Black River Falls. Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I guess I'm getting real mad at people trying to say that we don't need this health care. I mean, I'm a small businessman, and my insurance went up $1,000 a month because my wife had surgery. We don't go to the doctor for every little thing. And I guess, like I told my wife, pretty soon it's the fuel for the equipment or insurance, and I can't survive without either one. And I like to ask this guy, what's he have problems with pregnant women? Thank you.
Well, I don't. Yeah. I certainly don't have problems with pregnant women. I mean, my wife was pregnant 2 years ago, and it was kind of fun.
Yeah, and we don't need to go in.
You
mentioned that pregnant women who could come from another state
and
be covered.
That certainly makes sense.
But what about this small businessman who says, he's tired of people saying things like this won't work. Something's got to happen because he's getting socked by his insurance company just because his wife had surgery.
Yeah, and that's certainly a problem. I mean, he might save money under this plan. I mean, as I said, some employers probably would, particularly small businesses with older or unhealthy workers that buy health insurance in the small group market. Those are people who are really getting killed by these cost increases. And certainly someone like that might save money under the plan. But the problem is that people who don't provide insurance, and a lot of companies out there, would not. I mean, people who are using best practices management, things like health savings accounts and high deductible plans, and people who have gotten their companies that have really gotten it in line, would also be penalized under this plan. So I appreciate the caller's comments, and certainly understand, I think, and I know that a lot of people are in the same boat, but again, we just feel like it's going to be too expensive for the greater good here.
Our guest is Dan Cunningham, Vice President of Government Relations for Forward Janesville, a business group that has recently come out against the state Senate's Healthy Wisconsin proposal, the universal health care plan funded by payroll taxes that's in the Senate's version of the budget. We'll continue talking with him after this check of the news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you with us on this Thursday, July the 26th at 7:36. We're talking with a guest who doesn't think that the Healthy Wisconsin plan, the proposed universal health care plan for Wisconsin funded by payroll taxes, would be a good prescription for Wisconsin. Dan Cunningham, Vice President of Government Relations for Forward Janesville, is our guest, and you can call in with your thoughts and questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Forward Janesville, a business group of Janesville area businesses. And Dan Cunningham, those businesses in your group studied this, looked at this universal health care plan, and said, nope, we're opposed to it because it's going to cost too much and we'll have too many unintended consequences.
That's correct.
Yeah. Let's go to Dan in Partyville. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. Great program. We need more like it. Survey after survey shows that universal health care is overwhelmingly supported by the people of this state. Here's a plan that gets it done and saves money besides. My opinion, the people of this state are going to crush these Republicans at the polls in the next election for opposing this sensible plan. I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
Well, I think that's an interesting comment, and thank you, caller, for that comment. And I think that your point is well taken, that I have seen a lot of polls as well that claim that the state supports this idea of universal health care. However, I think when you start to talk, I've seen another survey that said when you start to talk about what this might actually cost the consumer and how the cost might escalate, then the support goes down just a little bit. But I think your point is interesting in that, you know, in the 2008 elections, I think this will certainly be an issue that's discussed. And, you know, you got to vote your conscience. And if you support this, you should vote for the candidate that supports this. Certainly, that's the beauty of democracy. But certainly, I've seen some of these polls and I find them interesting. But when you start to talk about costs, the support starts to go down just a little bit.
Now, I know that you haven't seen this very latest poll that was in the newspapers yesterday that was done on behalf of supporters of universal health care. Senator Erpenbach was quoted in the coverage of this saying, we threw everything we could at the poll respondents, saying that this could cost more and, you know, it could be a job killer and all these other things. And still, I believe he said 67% of these poll respondents said we want this universal health care plan.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. I think it's yet another salvo in this ongoing debate, and that's a very interesting poll. I haven't had a chance to read it and would be interested to see who was actually polled in this, but, you know, without getting too technical, but that's certainly something I'd be interested in taking a look at.
And you're quoting, though, a group that came out with an estimate that within 10 years, the payroll tax that would fund this particular Healthy Wisconsin plan, that there would up to $9 billion more would be needed to fund it.
That's correct. I mean, if costs, healthcare costs grow at a level of 8% per year, which is exactly what the increases in the existing state employee plan have been over time, the spending for this plan would reach $32.8 billion total is how much it would cost. That would cause it to have a deficit of about $9 billion. And for the plan to remain solvent, you'd have to raise taxes anywhere from the current the level we're talking about, 14.5% paid by employers and employees, to between 17.3% or 20%, depending on the lower the high end of the projection. So, and the escalations in cost aren't going to stop at the year 2017. They're just going to keep going up and up and up. I mean, we really feel that the sky is the limit on this. And I appreciate that this is a very passionate debate. I mean, we're talking about what kind of state we want to be. I mean, do we want to provide health care coverage, or do we want to continue with the current system, which everybody agrees is broken? And the problem we see is that business is a necessary part of the state of Wisconsin, and this is going to hurt a lot of businesses out there. It's not going to hurt every business, but it's going to hurt a lot of businesses. And as a member-driven organization, Forward Janesville listens to the concerns of their business members, and they have overwhelmingly said, we don't want this, and this is why I'm here today.
Scott in Green Bay is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I want to preface this with the notion that I'm a proponent for universal health care. I think everybody should be covered. I think there's just a moral aspect to it. But at the same time, as a business owner, I have never been able to understand the handout mentality that people have, that my employer should pay for my health care, my health coverage, and as an obligation. I mean, I don't pay for my employees' car insurance. I don't pay for my employees' renter's insurance. But there's this notion that I should be obligated to pay for my employees' health coverage. And I think that in itself is wrong. I think we do have a broken system, but one of the things we need to do is we need to get it out of the employer payment situation. I think there needs to be a different way to fund health insurance. And yeah, you're right. This definitely a small business like me with about 12 employees, I crunched the numbers myself. And I mean, I'd take a $20,000-$30,000 hit. And as a small business owner, we just really don't have an additional $20,000 or $30,000 just laying around waiting to pay something. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And you know, you might be able to pass that cost on to your employees, or maybe not. And a lot of businesses who can't pass that cost on to the public or consumers would be forced to consider other options, like perhaps closing their doors. And that's certainly a problem. And I appreciate your comments. I think certainly one of the ways that we're thinking about taking the system out of the employer-sponsored healthcare, I mean, where employers have to, you know, provide this for their employees, is increasing consumerism and increasing consumer involvement in healthcare through things like high-deductible health savings account plans. Again, Healthy Wisconsin does not include a provision that would allow health savings accounts to even exist in the state of Wisconsin anymore, as I understand it. We need to make consumers more responsible for their own health care. I mean, know what things cost, certainly, and become a more active consumer of health care. I think health savings accounts, to a certain extent, transfer the responsibility of providing health insurance from employers to employees. And I think that's a real way that we're going to be able to bring costs down in this country is by putting it in the hands of consumers.
If you can't afford health insurance and you work for an employer who can't afford health insurance and health care costs are so high, how's a health savings account? How are you going to fund your health savings account and pay for that visit to the hospital that you might have to take?
Well, it's a lot of employers find that health savings accounts are a more cost-effective way to do things. For example, say you're spending, and I'm not an expert on this, so I'll do my best here, but say you're spending $10,000 per year per employee on health care coverage that you provide, the traditional low-deductible, low-copay health care. Okay, say you take that $10,000 and it's killing your business. You can't afford it. It's just not working out for you. Under a health savings account, say the deductible per family is $3,000. Well, then the employer could then take that $3,000 and at the beginning of the year, drop the full amount of the deductible into that employee's health savings account. So suddenly, you've got your entire deductible there, and it's basically when you go to the doctor, you pay full price for things. But you've already got the full amount of your deductible sitting in your healthcare account, and you can pay for things. And after you reach that deductible threshold, then some insurance benefits kick in. So the employer might save, you know, $7,000 on this deal. So that's why we find health savings accounts to be a little more affordable. And granted, not every employer can afford this. Some employers can't afford to do anything for their employees, and they would really be hit hard under Healthy Wisconsin.
Our guest, Dan Cunningham, Vice President of Government Relations for Forward Janesville Business Group, in the Janesville area, obviously, that has recently come out against the state Senate's Healthy Wisconsin proposal, the universal health care plan, funded by $15 billion worth of payroll taxes that is in the Senate's version of the state budget. We welcome your thoughts and questions for him. Do you like this universal health care plan or not? And why or why not? Dan Cunningham says his group's members think that this plan would harm businesses in Wisconsin and would cost too much and would have other unintended consequences. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 13 minutes before 8 o'clock, the proposed state budget, the Assembly's version of the state budget, would cut more than $100 million from the University of Wisconsin system, $120 million, I think, to be exact. What would this mean for higher education? Well, we'll ask the president of the UW system, Kevin Riley, and the president of the UW system's Board of Regents, Mark Bradley, coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about universal health care, the universal health care plan that's proposed by Senate Democrats that our guest this hour opposes, his group opposes. He is Vice President of Government Relations for Forward Janesville, Dan Cunningham. And our next caller is Monty in New Richmond. Hi, Monty. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you doing this morning?
Very good. How are you?
Good. I got a few questions for the topic at hand, and I'd first heard this through my NFIB rep who'd stopped in here a few weeks ago. And the first thing he kind of told me was that they were targeting a specific payroll bracket, and that bracket was between $50,000 and $3 million. And I just wanted to verify that, if they had that information. And then also, we're up in St. Croix County, and our unemployment rate right now is about 3 to 3.5%. And over the years, you know, we've come to, you know, it kind of stays at that level. It can go up, but it hardly ever goes below that. And what we see with that 3 to 3.5% is the people in the community that can't work for, you know, medical reasons or some reason or another, that they're unable to work. And then there's the percentage of the population that just doesn't want to work. They choose not to work. And the percentage that are medically unable or certain reasons like that, there's usually some plans already in the system that help them with health care. So from my point, I'm kind of getting the viewpoint that we might be helping to insure people who don't want to be insured, who don't want to work, who don't want to be a productive member of the community. And the last question is, if they've done any studies to see what this might do as far as bringing in maybe that percentage of the population from other states into Wisconsin, you know, expecting to get free health insurance, basically.
Yeah, I think I jotted all of those down, but do you know about this payroll bracket that might be targeted? Do you know about this?
Unfortunately, I do not. Yeah. I've not heard anything about that. That doesn't necessarily mean it's not so. I haven't done all the studying maybe I should about this, but that's not something I'm aware of, unfortunately. So I can't answer that one, unfortunately.
And what about the other ones?
Well, I think that in terms of is there a study of how this might act as a magnet for people from other states, I haven't seen any, and I think that's going to be inherently very difficult to predict. We just fear that, again, that Wisconsin is going to be in the news for doing universal health care, and that people from all over the country are going to say, gee, Wisconsin sounds like a really nice place to live. It may be a little cold in the winter, but I can handle that for pretty much free health insurance. And that will certainly draw people to the state of Wisconsin. And I shouldn't say free health insurance because it's certainly not free. But in terms of the caller's other question about people who don't necessarily want to be covered under this, I mean, there are opt-out provisions. The legislation would establish really two things. It would establish HMOs that would be affiliated with the large physician groups and hospitals, and would also establish a fee-for-service plan similar to Medicare that would allow beneficiaries to go to any physician or any hospital they choose. So there are certain things that the plan would actually would actually do in terms of that. So there, and I think there are certain opt-out provisions. You know, currently, private health insurance in this state is paid mostly by employers and individuals and governments, and that leaves about 9% of our population uninsured. And this is according to the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. According to them, under this plan, the government would cover 96.9% of residents, but however, the rest of those people would be covered either under private sources or would stay uninsured for one reason or another. So there, the plan does have some give in terms of that. I mean, not literally everyone in Wisconsin under the state under the age of 65 would be covered. So there are some provisions like that, but again, it's almost nearly universal health care coverage.
Thanks to Monty for the call. We got an email from Michael in Arizona. I haven't heard a single objection to the Wisconsin plan from your guests that isn't solved by a single-payer national health care plan. I am one of the small businessmen who would be moving to Wisconsin the day after this is passed and signed into law. I think your guest's attitude that my bringing my business to Wisconsin would be a drain on the Wisconsin economy is absurd and insulting. You want to react to
sure,
that?
Sure, no, and there's two sides to every story, certainly, and you know, for what I'm talking about in terms of the drain on our resources from people crossing our borders to take advantage of healthy Wisconsin, there are certainly businesses that it would attract. And that's something we're taking a look at as well and something we've thought about for the last month as well. Forward Janesville, in addition to doing a lot of Chamber of Commerce-like functions, is also an economic development organization. And this is certainly something as we go out and talk to businesses and try to recruit and retain businesses in the Janesville area, we're very interested in. A lot of businesses might see this as a good thing. However, I think a lot of businesses might see it as a bad thing because, I mean, our tax burden, we're going to have to suddenly compete with out-of-state businesses and foreign rivals while shouldering nearly a 30% combined federal and state payroll tax. It's nearly double the 15% payroll tax paid by non-Wisconsin firms for Social Security and Medicare combined. So, I mean, we're talking about a big, big tax hit for businesses in our state. But, I mean, we'd certainly welcome you to come to Wisconsin with or without healthy Wisconsin. And Janesville's an awfully nice area, too.
Artis in Delafield is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm a former emergency room nurse. I worked at St. Michael Hospital for 5 years. It's closed due to them, you know, the community being a very poor, you know, serving poor clientele and not being able to pay their bills. And I know that people, you know, when you've got a system like we have now, they utilize, obviously, the emergency room quite frequently, which is extremely expensive. And I think it's been proven that it's more cost-effective to have a system that, you know, allows you to utilize a primary doctor or clinic. You know, so I just see that in the long run, universal health care, you know, if you look at at how you deliver health care, in the long run is going to be cost effective for everybody. Secondly, you know, by not doing something, you know, or putting something forward like universal health care because you're afraid of the drawbacks or some of the problems, I mean, that's just a recipe for the status quo. And by, you know, by putting this thing forward and ironing out the problems as they come forward, you know, you're providing a beacon for other communities to then go and, let's say, emulate or change or, you know, provide something in their state, and then even maybe on the federal level. So the idea that you're going to attract mm-hmm. people from other communities because they want their free health care as if it's a luxury, I mean, if you provide a beacon, you're going to have it go up throughout the country, and I think we need to move forward and not just sit here and do nothing.
All right, work out the problems, and Wisconsin can be a leader in this area. What do you say, Dan Cunningham?
And that's why I'm glad we're going to have this debate at the state government level. I think it's a good, healthy debate to be having. And I think that it would have been, and I agree that Wisconsin, you know, should be a leader in thought about things like this. However, I wish that this proposal would have been introduced as a standalone bill that could have been analyzed by the Legislative Fiscal Bureau and really get a good estimate of how the costs are and give it a fair hearing instead of dropping it into the budget at the 11th hour and saying, surprise, we're going to do universal health care. I mean, let's have a real honest-to-goodness debate on this issue by having a standalone bill, having a maybe a special session to talk about health care in the legislature and do it that way. That's something we'd certainly be interested in.
You know, we had the former Health and Human Services Secretary of the state of Wisconsin in the Thompson administration, I believe, and he was a former Republican lawmaker, Joe Leon, on this program. And he said, you know, this really wasn't 11th hour. This was he chaired a committee that came up with something quite like this as the solution to the healthcare crisis, and said it's not perfect and it needs some tweaking, but the Republicans who disagree with it could just add some of these things to it and make it better, but not just throw it out. What do you say to that?
Well, and perhaps that's the answer. And when I say 11th hour, I don't want to misrepresent the fact that there have been a lot of people in the state who have been talking about this for a number of years. The so-called Wisconsin Health Plan, which was authored by a guy named David Reamer, has been out there for quite some time. And we actually had Mr. Reamer down to Fort Worth, mm-hmm. Janesville before my time there to talk about this plan and what it does. And so we've been thinking about this for a couple years. However, I don't think that anybody was necessarily ready for it to be included in the Senate budget proposal, mm-hmm. necessarily. It would have been fine with us to just see a standalone bill and debate it on its own merits instead of getting it involved in the budget mess. And it is going to be messy in Madison this year.
Well, that conference committee is getting underway with its work, trying to hammer out a compromise between the two versions. And I'm sure we will hear more on this issue as that work proceeds. We're out of time for this hour. Dan Cunningham, thanks very much for being here.
It's been my pleasure, Joy. Thank you.
Thanks for coming up from Janesville. Dan Cunningham, Vice President of Government Relations for Forward Janesville. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing the hour, and thanks to Christina Taylor for on-air production. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I want to invite you to join us tomorrow at this time, especially if you're a fan of The Simpsons. The movie, the motion picture, comes out tomorrow, and I'll be talking with the author of a book who talks about how The Simpsons have influenced our culture tomorrow between 7 and 8. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.